there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Monica, good day. Good to see you. As always, as Stephen A. just said, a lot of NBA ahead. Good morning, sir. How are we doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Good. Can we just let it go now, the LA thing? You're about to be out there soon. Let's just let it go. Let's focus on that. Let's change our energy right now. Deal?
I'm never letting it go.
Oh, my. See, I tried. America, I tried.
I'm never letting
you
it
go. You did.
All right, let's do this. Ben Simmons let it go, and he moved on. He is scheduled to speak for the first time in a long time. We'll bring you that press conference live in the next hour. But first, let's tip things off with his new team, which finally snapped its 11-game losing streak, beating the Sacramento Kings last night. Seth Curry putting up 24 in his first time in a Nets uniform. Bruce Brown Jr., LaMarcus Aldridge both adding 19. KD still out with a sprained MCL in his left knee. Ben Simmons is practicing, but yet to play. Meanwhile, former Net James Harden, who is now in Philly, is supposed to get game action February 25th in Minnesota. He is out until then. Here's Kevin Durant from Saturday on the absence of Harden.
James doesn't have to explain anything to anybody. He's his own man. He makes his decisions on his career, for his career on himself. You know, he doesn't owe anybody an explanation. I wasn't looking for one. I'm just glad that we got this thing done, and now we're able to move forward and get some of this noise away from. Sure, he'd feel the same way, but around our team and around, you know, our group, there's noise about what may happen, and you know, so I'm glad we could push through that. But James doesn't owe anybody an explanation. This is his life.
Okay, KD can relate to that. Monica, Harden is out till after the All-Star break. How significant is James Harden's absence?
Molly, I think it's notable that he's not getting into the mix. You look at the teams that the Sixers are going to play prior to the All-Star break. They've got the Celtics tonight, and then they'll play the defending national champions in the Bucks before the All-Star break. To me, I understand the injury, but I am just looking for an immediate display of commitment that signifies this situation is not going to be like the last two. I can appreciate what Kevin Durant said there. He strikes me as a guy that will never encroach upon anyone's autonomy. And also, he just wants to play basketball. So if this clears the cloud that was formerly over the Brooklyn Nets, he's quite content. But to me, so much more pressure is now on James Harden in terms of not just the eyeballs and the way that he did this, but you are now playing alongside the current MVP in the league, and by most people's assumption. You have to show up and carry your weight all the way through. That includes putting to bed any sort of demons that have haunted him when it comes to postseason play. And so as I looked at the schedule, one of the two, I would have liked to see him make an effort. Now, if ultimately he ends up not playing a ton of minutes, that's one thing. But I'm just looking for an immediate cue that says this is going to be different.
Well, a couple of things I want to point out. First of all, whoever that picture is of that beautiful little girl in the background over your right shoulder, that's a gorgeous little girl right there. I just wanted to sit
Thank
up
you.
And say that. That's a cutie right there. That's number
I
one.
I was looking at the picture.
It's a really, really nice picture.
I gotta be honest. She's adorable. And I like the sign that says, right. Never stop learning, because I believe in that as well.
That's right. That's
Thank
right.
Thank you, Molly.
The,
Thank you,
the
Molly.
The Warriors hat, that's a different subject. For another day.
Exactly.
All right, it's a different
Same
subject page. For another day, okay? I'm saying, gotta win a Big East game for crying out loud. That's number one. Number two, with all due respect, Monica McNutt, I mean, the Milwaukee Bucks are the reigning defending NBA champions, not the national champions, okay? That's college. See, that's
You're right, I did say that.
Your
I heard
your
that.
Paranoia stuff
it's
like
all
that.
My
when
basketball.
They won in the 80s, when they won in the 80s, that's what you stuck on. I understand that. Number three, I don't agree with your take. And dare I say, Monica McNutt, you're being a bit harsh on Mr. James Harden here.
Ooh.
And I don't think that you're seeing the forest from the trees, let me say so respectfully. If you're James Harden, If you're James Harden, I have no problem with him missing games. You understand? Let's not confuse the issues. Mm-hmm. My issue is with Daryl Morey, who I love, by the way, and I think is an exceptional executive, but I think this deal it's not that it didn't make Philly better. It made Philly a hell of a lot better, and I get that. But it also made Brooklyn a hell of a lot better, and I think Brooklyn won this trade. That's my issue with Daryl Morey. I think he was too transparent in his desire to have James Harden. But what's done is done. Philly's a title contender. It's certainly a significant upgrade to what they was dealing with. James Harden is going to make them better. My issue with you, Monica, well, what you said is this. James Harden has been out. While he was out, people were saying he really wasn't hurt. He wanted to be out of Brooklyn so badly. Well, guess what? What does missing games now, particularly waiting until after the All-Star break, add credence to? The fact that he was legitimately injured and he didn't need to be playing and he needs to get ready. You can roll your eyes there, but the fact of the matter is, unless you have evidence to the contrary, you have to concede that that is a large possibility, because we all know he wanted to be in Philly. We know he definitely wanted to be with Daryl Morey. So why would you not play, okay, if you know what, you must be hurt. That's what some people are going to believe, and that debunks the notion that he had missed games prior to departing for Brooklyn because he was just faking his injury and he wanted to be out. Now there's some credence to it. Not to mention this, there has never, ever been more pressure on James Harden in his career than exists right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking, this is more pressure than he was facing when he had to go up against Golden State and they went into that game 7 in Houston on their home court at the Toyota Center, where people saying, what you gonna do, James, because you usually, the numbers that you generate isn't usually what it is in the regular season compared to what you do in the postseason. Now, guess what? All of that pales in comparison to the pressure he is on right now. Philadelphia with Joel Embiid playing like a league MVP candidate, I have a vote. Mm-hmm. And right now, if the season ended, Joel Embiid would be my MVP. They kept Maxey. They kept Thybulle. Okay, you still have Tobias Harris. While we sniffing at Tobias Harris, the brother is a 19 to 20 point per game scorer, shooting better than 45% from the field. People acting like the brother is just somebody. No, Tobias Harris can play. So when I look at it from that perspective, you James Harden, you come there, considering the way you departed Brooklyn, considering the way you departed Houston, and now here you are in Philadelphia. All eyes are on James Harden. That means when he steps out on that court, he don't need to be grabbing his hammy. He don't need to be limping. He don't need to be acting like he's the modern-day Willis Reed, where I'm hurting, I'm limping, but I'm coming out there taking one for the team. Nobody wants to hear that right now. This isn't game 7 of a conference semifinals like last year or something like that. This is James Harden arriving in Philadelphia with profound, significant expectations. And he's got to deliver. And if that brother got to sit out the next 2 or 3 weeks to make sure he's ready, once he steps out on the court, go ahead and do it, because that's what we're looking for.
All right. Okay, Stephen A.
Yes.
The goal is obviously a championship.
Sure.
And it is hard to argue over 2 games, right? And so I will give you that. The one thing that I am now piqued in terms of my interest is piqued that you said is whether or not he was actually injured, right?
Okay.
I just, for me, assuming that he's actually injured, the idea that you would be concerned with the perception at this point and whether it's a real injury, maintained injury, or whether it's not to play is ridiculous to me. I think everything that he has gone about doing, he should completely own and just let the chips fall where they may. If he's injured and going to come back, then when he comes back those first few games, the way that he plays is going to matter a tremendous amount. We completely agree. This is a window for Philly. If he doesn't show up, the deal will be for naught. And so I just want him to show me that it's different. And I don't know that this is the start that I need.
All I'm saying is, in the end, when he steps on the court,
in the end,
when he steps on the court, That's what he's going to be held accountable for. The one thing we're not going to question right now is whether or not the brother wants to play. Because in fairness to James Harden, I understand he wanted out of Houston. They told him no initially, and he didn't handle that ideally. I get all of that. Don't blame him for the mess and the dysfunction that raked through the Brooklyn Nets franchise over the season. I'm sorry. Don't blame that. That's Kyrie Irving right there, which we will get into later, okay? And not just Kyrie Irving. It's Brooklyn Nets management. Let's not let them off the hook either. But in the end, we know that James Harden, for the most part throughout his career, until last year, the brother didn't miss games. He always showed up
for
games. And we know that he loves playing for Daryl Morey. So he ain't going to skip games unless he's not 100% because he understands this is it. James Harden's got to win. Yeah. James Harden's got to get it done this year.
Yeah.
He's got to get it done.
I'm sure that's why he wants to be 100%. He hasn't played since February 4th. He's targeting February 25th, dealing with that hamstring.
34-22. They're the fourth, and they're a half game out of the third seed. Mm-hmm. Oh, my Lord, him missing a few games. Give me a break. He can afford to.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
We're going to move on. Yeah, sip your tea or your water, whatever it is. Yeah, I saw that face too. Stephen, what's up with the Warriors? They lost to the Jazz Wednesday, then a day later fell to the Knicks, then narrowly beat the Lakers Saturday night in Golden State thanks to a late surge by Klay Thompson, and then fell last night to the Clippers by 15. Part of the problem, that would be defense. Here's Steve Kerr.
I think the main thing is our defense has just been bad. You know, it's been bad for 6-7 games now, I think. So it's hard to win in this league when you're looking like we are defensively with so many holes in our game, whether it's, you know, tonight it was just on-ball defense. They just spent the entire game at the front of the rim. Couldn't guard our man. Last game it was box outs, back cuts. You know, every game it's been something a little different. So our defense has just been really poor. And if that's the case, it's tough to win. So we got to get better with it.
Stephen A., tell me this. Obviously, the Warriors were looking like world beaters. They get Klay back. Yep. I know you're very high on them. Do you still have them coming out of the West with these struggles of late?
I still do. I have not jumped off that bandwagon. Now, what I will say is this. The Phoenix Suns do give you cause to pause momentarily. Mm-hmm. Right now, the Phoenix Suns have the best backcourt in basketball. Chris Paul, at age 36, is the best point guard in the world. Let's think about that for a second. Put Monica up on that screen. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure I see her face when I say something like that. Because Chris Paul at age 36 is the best point guard in the world right now. Now, I can't speak to what's going to happen to May and June. Right now, the way Chris Paul has played this season, this dude, it's unreal. It's unreal. And Devin Booker has arrived. Mm. That brother is a star personified. Yeah. I know this. But Steph Curry. And you see Klay Thompson coming, just like I told y'all he was coming. I told y'all. I said his game, his success ain't predicated on athleticism and speed. That brother got a stroke. He is one of the top five shooters in the history of basketball. And ladies and gentlemen, he is coming, yeah. Okay? I'm sorry. Hasn't Draymond Green been out? Isn't he really the floor general? First of all, he's an elite defender. He was in line for Defensive Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. Monica knows this. And on top of it all, he's your orchestrator. Nobody sets up Klay and Steph better than Draymond Green. He'll be back. Wiseman, I've been told, will be back in the beginning of March. All right, he's a seven-footer with skills. Okay. And let's not forget, now, again, Phoenix picked up Biombo and JaVale McGee to back up DeAndre Ayton. That's significant because Dario Saric goes down in the finals. Frank Kaminsky ain't going to do but so much. And you going up against the Greek Freak, that was problematic. That's why they got a couple of big boys to back up DeAndre Ayton. Well, if you're the Warriors, pay attention to that. Look at the buyout market. You got a Robin Lopez, potentially. You got a DeAndre Jordan, potentially, okay? You got a Derek Favors, potentially. I just need a big body, Monica, to give me 6 pounds. Mm. To give me 6 pounds in a few minutes. A big body to give me 6 pounds a few minutes and be able to rebound a little. That's all I need if I'm the Warriors. That's all I need. I need a big body. I need somebody with some beef, okay, that can give me about 10 minutes a game to rebound and to be some kind of big body opposed. I don't need anything else if I'm the Warriors. I don't need anything else. I got the guards. I got the shooters. I got the athletes. I'm not worried about a thing. So when I look at them against Phoenix, I know that Phoenix is legit. It's big time. It's an encounter that's waiting to come in. Memphis is sitting back saying, excuse me, we got something to say about all of this. We'll be in the mix, too. We shall see. Utah, because my brother Donovan Mitchell is so special. I'm just so sorry he doesn't get the help that he richly deserves. But that's a story for another day, okay? I'm just looking at it, and I'm saying y'all sleep on the Warriors all y'all want to. Y'all keep talking about they slipping. Ain't no slippage. They don't have all their horses, but they shall. And when they do, you mark my words, okay? They will be in the conference finals. I assume Phoenix is going to get there, and then we shall see. We shall see. I'm rolling with the Warriors. I ain't jumping off the bandwagon.
The Lakers
I'm not
only
jumping
lost
off.
To them by 2 points. Edward.
I don't give a damn. So what? So what? It's a regular season game. Mere bag of shells.
I don't know.
Probably
NBC
was looking forward
prime
to the Super
time.
Bowl. They probably was looking forward to the Super Bowl.
Okay.
That's probably. I'm not worried about them. Doesn't matter. Monica. Hey, the Warriors. Go ahead, Monica.
Okay. All right. You make great arguments, Stephen A. And we agree on this. The conference finals out west will likely be the Warriors and Phoenix, but I still maintain that the Phoenix Suns are the teams to beat. I think what happens with the Warriors, and rightfully so, we attach everything they got going, and not that they are not a championship caliber team again this year, but it's still a target on their back because of the dynasty and because of what was. And I think that lures away some of the acknowledgement that a team like the Phoenix Suns deserve. You started the conversation, Stephen A., pointing out how dynamic and well-rounded the Phoenix Suns are. And to me, the experience from last year and the continuity that they maintain makes them just as, if not, should be, depending on opinion, slightly more favored to run it back compared to the Warriors. I got to give you a credit. Klay Thompson drops 32 the other
33,
night.
33.
He looks fantastic. 33, I'm sorry.
Yes.
He looks fantastic in his return. It was so good to see him catch and shoot in rhythm, confident, you know, emotional, pumping his fist the whole bit. Right. Draymond Green coming back. That's one guy that I think when you talk about adding him to the mix, you don't question what that will do to the established chemistry or flow just because he is that much of an integral part about that Warriors offense in terms of facilitating. However, when I look at this Phoenix Suns squad, all they have done all season long is to continue to improve. And it's not just about Chris Paul, who leads the league in assists per game. It's not just about Devin Booker, who is rightfully so an all-star and tremendous. It's about all of those role players who are a year older and a year sharper and gaining more experience. And I would almost argue, because of folks like yourself, many a basketball consumer who continue to ping the Warriors as the team to beat, they get to fly just a little bit under the radar and quietly handle their business and keep getting better.
A couple of things. Number one, shoot, I threw some names out there. I was going to mention Tristan Thompson, but he already ended up in Indiana. I don't know who the hell's available or who the hell's going to be bought out, so I apologize if I missed anybody, if I added names that shouldn't be met. I'm just talking about anybody 6'9 and above with a big body. Okay,
trying to
that's
win.
All the Warriors need.
I get it.
That's number one. Number two, Monica, I must say, if
what you need?
If I was a defendant and you were my defense attorney, I'd have to fire you.
Oh.
You don't sound very convincing. You know, you're like, this is the maybes and yeah, but I think it. No, Monica, no. You know, listen, you know that CP3 is phenomenal as he is. One could easily argue that his Achilles heel would be Steph Curry. Steph Curry, you know, 6'3", lanky, long arms, the greatest shooter who ever lived. When CP3 goes against them, I mean, it's a tough outing. You know what I'm saying? Because Steph Curry gets his. We know this. That's number one. Klay Thompson is back. They beat Phoenix Christmas Day without Klay Thompson. But Klay Thompson is back now. That's number two. And I look at it from the perspective that Mikal Bridges has upped his game. DeAndre Ayton has got better. I get all of that. But in the end, what it comes down to me is that the Phoenix Suns have been who they are all year long with all their bodies in tow. The Warriors, not so much. Klay hasn't been there. Dre hasn't been there. Wiseman hasn't been there. The buyout market. Listen, Bob Myers knows what the hell he's doing now. This is one of the elite executives in the game. He knows what he's doing. He ain't, if there's a weakness, he'll correct it. I'm just saying. I look at that and championship experience. It was beautiful to see because I wanted my man CP3 to win his first chip, okay, after he got to the finals for the first time last year. I'm a fan of Monty Williams, who's a phenomenal coach. Phenomenal coach, okay? All right, we get all of that. And Devin Booker is a superstar in my mind. But the Warriors, three-time champions, five straight trips to the finals, those brothers are there. They know what it takes. And while everybody's pointing at Phoenix and the Coyotes and the Heat, that the Heat in Arizona, right, they are forgetting.
Monica, last word here, please.
I am excited to see James Wiseman return because I think he has a bright future in this league. But I'm not sure what everybody thinks he did last year that makes him such a piece moving forward. But that's neither here nor there. I will submit this one thing to you, Stephen A. When it comes to Steph Curry being potentially, as you call it, Chris Paul's Achilles heel, I also think that in terms of the defensive fortitude, in terms of stepping up to the challenge and making it difficult, because you don't stop Steph Curry, making it difficult on Steph Curry, you got to look at Bridges and a little bit of Cam Johnson as well in terms of the length that they're able to throw in his
direction
to disrupt that.
And he's going to play a bigger role this year than he did in last year's NBA playoff finals. Right. I'm a fan of Cam Johnson's.
Monica, stick tight. We're going to deal with some NFL, and then we will check back with you in just a bit. Moving on here, guys. The Cardinals probably wish the NFL season stopped in week 9 because the second half for them was something to forget, including a bad wild card loss to the Rams in which Kyler Murray threw for 2 interceptions and only 137 yards. Our Chris Mortensen is reporting that tension in Arizona between the star quarterback and his team. Kyler responded to this on Twitter. I play this game for the love of it. My teammates, everyone who has helped me get to this position that believed in me and to win championships. All of this is nonsense. It's not what I'm about, never has been, and never will be. Anyone who has ever stepped between those lines with me knows how hard I go, love me or hate me, but I'm going to continue to grow and get better. Swagoo back here with us. Marcus, I'll start with you. Is the Kyler criticism warranted?
Yeah, it's fair. It's fair because it's fair, just like any other polarizing star quarterback for their franchise. And two, like we are getting to the point, Kyler's about to be in year 4 of his deal. We're getting to the point where we attribute the success of your team to who you are as a quarterback. We know Kyler is dynamic. He can play at a high level like any other quarterback in this league. But the reality is, if you paid attention to Kyler Murray, his demeanor on the sideline is questionable. How he responds to adversity at times is questionable. How he looks at his teammates and how he does things when things aren't going well is very questionable. And as a player, as a former player, on the sideline, I don't want to see my QB pouting. I want to see him mad. That's fine. It's fine for you to get upset and frustrated. It's fine for you to get in guys' grill and tell them what we need to do and what we, but to some of the demeanor and the things that I've seen, they kind of relate to what's been said. Now, here's the thing. With a franchise, you don't want to let this get out, right, with respect to what you're trying to do in your building. But ultimately, all you got to do is look. There have been instances where I've looked at Kyler Murray and I've had conversations with people about Kyler Murray that says when you see him going through, like, bad things on the field, when you see him on the sideline, his demeanor is not what you would want from your first overall pick, the face of your franchise. And then Kyler comes out with that statement. I don't doubt that Kyler wants to win. I don't doubt that he gets ready every season to have success. I doubt none of that. But what I do know and what's factual is I've watched the Arizona Cardinals fall off twice in towards the back end of seasons. And this doesn't absolve Cliff Kingsbury. It doesn't absolve Steve Kime. It doesn't absolve anybody that's not doing their job at a high level. But we're talking about Kyler right now. Face of your franchise has times where it looks like he's pouting and not ready for the moment in certain situations, and we got to call that out.
Swaggoo, I'm an individual that doesn't believe I lose debates, to be quite honest with you, because either I'm absolutely positively right or I learn from the person who is right, and so I've edified myself and I'm better for it. That's how I view a debate situation, which is why I say I've never lost a debate. And I'm not about to lose one right now. That's why I say I'm not about to lose one right now. And I'm willing to go so far as to say that I'm going to get you to see my way on this one.
Okay.
Because what you said, and I'm being dead serious right now, what you said, I don't disagree with your points. But here's where I'm going to get Swaggoo, Marcus Spears, right to my side. Why the hell are we hearing about this now? See, that's the problem. That's where it gets you.
Got a great point.
Everybody missing that. That's why I went off yesterday about this the way that I do. I'm not in Arizona, bro. I don't cover the Arizona Cardinals. Yep. If you Cliff Kingsbury, Cliff Kingsbury, and you're saying that Kyler Murray doesn't communicate, okay, fine. You Steve Keim, and you got an issue with his communication skills, fine. You cats like Colin Cowherd and others, and you bring up the fact that quarterbacks need to communicate, fine. No disagreement. No disagreement whatsoever. But we hear about that now that he's due for an extension, that he's open for an extension. You see how slick this is? See, when people get uncomfortable, they get uncomfortable because Stephen A. is bringing up something and it alludes to race or whatever. I got news for y'all. I'm tired of talking about it. I want to talk sports. I want to talk about life. I want to talk about race. I want to talk about black, white. You think I don't have better things to do with my damn time? I do. But each and every single time, the American way seems to be about forcing people like me to address subjects I'd rather not address. My question is, why now? All of you pundits, all of you commentators, all of you aficionados, radio hosts, and everybody else, why now when it comes to this guy? Kyler Murray been around here for 3 years. When we hear about this, Marcus, when did we hear, he's difficult to communicate with. We can't talk to him. Really? Really?
Yeah.
Because, see, I recall Aaron Rodgers. I recall even Jay Cutler and his depressing-looking self. I mean, the list goes on and on. But they got their money first. This brother right here is trying to get it. And now that he's trying to get it, now we're hearing that. But he was the best thing since sliced bread when they were 10-0. Was it 9-0, 10-0? All right. They started off the season. They were flat out balling. Oh, he was the man then. Okay. But now that you get bounced out in the first round, it's about him. You brought in a rookie coach in Cliff Kingsbury. Cliff Kingsbury, no disrespect. The house is beautiful, by the way. I'm very, very jealous of the crib that he had showing off for the NFL draft a couple of years ago. That's a crib I'd like to have. Here's the deal. This brother never coached in the NFL on any level. Ever.
No, sir.
Ever. When he was at Texas Tech, I'm sorry. I heard Nick Saban's name. I heard Dabo Sweeney. I heard a whole bunch. Hell, I heard Jimbo Fisher. I heard a whole bunch of guys. I heard Lane Kiffin. I never, ever, ever heard anybody bringing up Cliff Kingsbury. We had to Google and go to the article. Who's the coach of Texas Tech? Who's this guy? We didn't know him.
They said, how?
Listen, I'm going like this. All right, so how you elevate to the head coaching job, bypassing white and black coaches, elevate to an NFL position, okay? Did it ever occur to anybody that if the coach was a veteran and seasoned NFL veteran coach, communication might not be the problem because they would know what to do with a young dude like Kyler Murray? Nobody brought that up.
That's why I made it a point to say this does not absolve Kingsbury. But you know as well as I know in this particular situation, and you got a great point. Me and you have had debates on Aaron Rodgers and his demeanor and how he does things. We talked about Urban Meyer, how he used to stand on the sideline looking stupid when all hell was breaking loose for Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
My point about Kyler Murray is this. All right. I think Kyler Murray is a top-tier talent at quarterback in the NFL, okay? There are some things that are left to be desired when it's not going well and all things aren't perfect that you see him kind of succumb to some things in the game. But that's not too indifferent to any other quarterback that we watch play. Here's my thing, though, SA, and you know I'm big on this. You and I've had a lot of conversations about how you read into things when you're a player. I personally do not like Kyler Murray's optics when things go bad.
Okay.
And that gives this validity when this comes out. I hate that it gives it validity. I hate that it's something that people are going to look to and say, kind of makes sense based on his reaction,
Marcus,
to a lot of things
optics,
that developed over this time.
Do you have an example?
Yeah.
When you're saying optics of his behavior, because obviously I know he stunk it up in the playoff game.
Molly,
he threw two picks and no touchdown. So I know that's on him, not just the coach. But as far as that demeanor.
We can go back and look at that particular game. We can look at the Green Bay game. When things are going bad, pay attention to Kyler Murray on the sideline. Mm-hmm. And it will show you why people think this and why people say this.
And my response to you, big boy, is this. That stuff was going on before this season. How come they ain't say it?
Yes.
Well, no.
Wait, yes, it was, Molly.
Wait.
It was going on. What Marcus just pointed to, his optics, that was going on before this season.
Yeah.
Why would you bring it up now that the brother is sitting
great
back
point.
And saying, excuse me, I passed up a baseball career. I reneged on going to the Oakland A's in Major League Baseball. I came into the NFL. Y'all drafted me number one. I just got us to the playoffs.
I'm looking to get paid.
And now we want to bring this up.
I'll tell you why. Because they were world beaters and they were undefeated for a long time. And then when they lose DeAndre Hopkins, they go 3-6 and then they stink it up in the playoffs, an early exit. That's why. That's why all eyes are on, because they felt like they didn't live up to expectations.
Well, frustration is warranted.
They had a huge lead in the NFC.
5-10
for majority of the season.
5-10, 8-8 before this season. So when what I'm saying is when Marcus is talking about the optics, we're talking about something we've seen from Kyler Murray since he came into the NFL. My point is, why would you pick it up now?
No. I hear you, and I get where that smells. What I'm saying to you, I'm not even paying attention to the demeanor and optics because I don't care if you're winning. When you're winning, that cures all. The problem was they were successful.
And then
they fell off.
Well, I disagree.
We having the conversation, S.A. Molly is right, bro. We having the conversation because of how it ended.
Exactly.
But to your point, like, these things can be true. Stephen A., it is fishy that is coming out now in the
middle of the timeline and contract.
But what I'm saying is the validity is given to it because of Kyler's reaction when you see him pouting on the sideline. So now, like, do I want to run to the defense? You damn right. I've told you a million times, I want every single professional athlete to get every cent can get. But you give it validity when you give that type of energy
but I didn't deny that.
Optically when people are watching you.
But I didn't deny validity to it. What I said was, what I said yesterday, Molly, if you recall, I didn't deny it. I said, I don't want to hear it. You didn't say it before.
Yeah.
Don't say it now that he's looking for his money.
That's fair.
Don't do that.
I think it's all true. I'm just saying if they were winning and they finished as hot as they started, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
All right, you want me to drop the mic right now?
Yeah.
Want me to drop the mic? Why don't you do some research, Molly? All of us. Do some research. Let's see the white quarterbacks that they talk about and the black quarterbacks that they talk about. Same arguments, same issues, whatever. Notice how with the black quarterbacks, it's before they get their money.
Mm-hmm.
But with the other dude, after they get their money.
That's all I'm talking about. All things are true here. I think all things we're saying are true.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All eyes on Matthew Stafford after a spectacular Super Bowl performance and win. A lot of people singing his praises after finally getting to lift the Lombardi. But it's not all yellow and blue confetti. Richard Sherman tweeting this. I'm going to talk about it on the podcast. But the Hall of Fame bar is incredibly low now, like a participation trophy. No all-decade team, no all-pro, no MVP, one Pro Bowl, not even MVP of the Super Bowl. Never considered the best in any year he played. At least Matt Ryan has an MVP. Interesting. Giving us pause there. Marcus, I'll start with you. Does Matthew Stafford belong in the Hall of Fame?
No, Molly. And the truth sounds like hate to people that don't want to hear the truth. And I think this about Matthew Stafford. He's still writing that book. He still has time to continue to write his Hall of Fame book. But right now, no. Like, when you look at, and I look, being required to talk about the Hall of Fame as a player, I ain't in that tier, but I know what I see. And I know what type of guys are in the Hall of Fame. And all of those guys have been all pros, most of them. All of those guys have been multiple time Pro Bowlers. All of those guys at some point in the league, to Richard Sherman's point, has been in our minds as the best, as the guy that we look to during any given NFL season that says nobody is on that level. He's doing it at a very high level. Yes, Matthew Stafford has thrown for a lot of yards. He's played 13 years. He played with Calvin Johnson. Most quarterbacks with any post could throw for a lot of yards with Calvin Johnson. That's not to absolve. That's not to discredit things that Matthew Stafford has done. Is he phenomenal? As a former player playing against Matthew Stafford, did you have to pay crazy attention to him? Absolutely. Can he make all the throws? Yes. One of the Super Bowl throws, the no look, that's one of the best throws I've seen in a game in a Super Bowl. Yes. So Matthew Stafford has a lot of great things. And I hate to be debating this after the man just came off of a Super Bowl. But when I think about Hall of Fame, you think about names like Deion Sanders and Troy Aikman and Dan Marino and John Elway and Drew Brees and Peyton Manning, and obviously Tom is going to get in. And all of these great guys, Roger Staubach. Like, you think about all of these guys that's in the Hall of Fame, and then you think about Matthew Stafford, and you got to ask yourself, how does he stack up against the guys that it has been a prerequisite for to get into Canton as much as they've accomplished, the things that they have attached to their names as individual awards? I just can't find that right now with Matthew Stafford.
No, it's interesting that you say that, man. And I get where you're coming from. And I want to say this. I'm open to being corrected on this, because I'm going to be serious, because the man just won a Super Bowl championship, and I can understand the sensitivity that comes along with it. That's your sensitivity. My sensitivity is not only love for you, you know I got love for my brother Richard Sherman now. You know I consider that a brilliant brother who will be in the Hall of Fame someday himself, as far as I'm concerned, and as far as I'm concerned, is a treasure in this league because of some of the things that he's been able to do. Richard Sherman, I hope you watch it. I don't disagree with one word he said in his quote in terms of the question marks about Matthew Stafford. My point is, you're absolutely right. The bar has been lowered. That's why I said he's a Hall of Famer. I didn't say Matthew Stafford's a Hall of Famer because I'm running around with pom-poms like I'm Dan Orlovsky. You understand what I'm saying? Waving pom-poms about to treat him out to dinner. He don't want to spend
crying, money. Jumping in his arms.
That's right, jumping in his arms and stuff. Dan Orlovsky don't want to pay money for his wife and him to be in first class.
Oh, leave Dan alone.
Oh, I'm not letting him go there. You put the wife
get
in
him.
First class.
No, don't let
That's
him go.
That's a damn shame. You do that. You get Dan Orlovsky. You cheat. Yes. You cheapskate. What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Exceptional NFL analyst. We are happy and proud to have him as a part of the family. I mean, the only thing better than Dan Orlovsky on NFL Live, aside from me and Laura Rutledge and Swagoo, is Big Man Bowling. Okay, that's Big Man Bowling. Nothing beats Big Man Bowling, okay? You got to watch that.
BMB.
We understand that, okay? But Dan Orlovsky is the truth. And all of this stuff, he succeeded. He gonna be cheap and don't want to take his wife for first class. He should be ashamed of himself. Ashamed, Dan Orlovsky, ashamed. Now let me get back to Swagoo.
You should be ashamed, Dio.
When we talk about the bar being lowered, Richard Sherman is right. You know what our proof is, theoretically speaking, or at least, you know, from a prognosticating standpoint? Isn't everyone talking about Eli Manning being a Hall of Famer? I know he's a two-time Super Bowl champion. Stay with me. Stay with me. I know this hurts, Molly.
It doesn't hurt. It's wrong.
Eli Manning is 117 and 117 as a quarterback for the New York Giants. We know what a horrid organization the Detroit Lions have been. I mean, my God. Who was the coach? Who was the coach from Sandy? I mean, that forced Barry Sanders to walk away. Bobby Ross. I mean, they sat up there let Bobby Ross alienate Barry Sanders. I mean, how stupid can you be? No wonder they haven't won a damn playoff game since 1991.
Okay. Keep going.
They 1991. These are Detroit Lions. Yeah. So, Eli Manning. We love Eli. Class personified. He's a Manning. We know he's going to go in the Hall of Fame. But the question is, when you think about the Hall of Famers who are there, he was 117 and 117. Okay? He doesn't even have a touchdown to interception ratio. Okay? You look at them. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the New York Giants with Eli Manning there because he's just been gone a couple of years, okay? We talking about 6 times in 7 years they missed the playoffs, 9 times in 11 years, whatever the number.
Tell me when I'm allowed to speak.
They missed the playoffs, right? We talking about all of that, all right? We talking about all of that. And we also talking about how he led the league in interceptions 3 times.
Okay.
And he was never once considered to be anything close to the best quarterback in football. Marcus, so if we're going to do that, and that guy's in the Hall of Fame with the 2 Super Bowls, how come Matthew Stafford, who was universally recognized as an elite quarterback but just saddled with being a Detroit Lion, his first year apart from that organization, he wins a Super Bowl championship, Could have easily been the MVP since Cooper Kupp got it. Could have easily went to him. How do we ignore it now?
Okay, let me just say this really quickly. First of all, I'm not going to hate on Detroit, and I'm not going to hate on Matthew Stafford, but I'm not going to put Matthew Stafford in the same sentence as Eli Manning when we're talking Hall of Fame. And a lot of people don't believe Eli Manning is a Hall of Famer because Matthew Stafford has no MVPs, okay? So Eli Manning has two Super Bowl MVPs. He has two Super Bowl titles. Stephen A., knocking off Tom Brady in the Patriots, the best ever. He's top 10 in NFL history in pass yards, pass TDs, completions, and attempts. Their resume. You talk about resume. Don't tell me Matthew Stafford's resume is the same as Eli Manning.
I'm saying to you, listen to me good. 17-14, 21-7. Excuse me, I'm answering the question. You don't want me to answer the question?
Well, it's not really.
You don't want me to answer the question?
Regular season numbers. I'm talking about when it counts.
You gave me your fact. I'm sorry, I just brought up the Super Bowl. That don't count? I'm bringing up the Super Bowl. 17-14, 21-17. The Giants' defense swarmed Tom Brady. The offenses in both games were relatively average. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, and more importantly, your Hall of Fame ain't just about two games unless it is. Okay. And if it is about two games, then I can look at a talent like Matthew Stafford combined with a now Super Bowl championship on a resume and say, excuse me, Richard Sherman is right. It's been diluted. The bar has been lowered.
That's fair.
And because the bar has been lowered, Matthew Stafford can get in because it's been lowered.
Don't bring up Super Bowl scores. What was the score in this Super Bowl?
Eli.
The Bengals only
Eli
won.
Going to the Hall of Fame.
And don't talk to me about the defense. Have
Eli
you seen
going
the defense
to the Hall
on the Rams?
Fame.
You were the one that said that Donald is maybe better than LT.
Have you seen the Giants defense? Have you said, excuse me, I did not say Aaron Donald was better than LT. Excuse me, you better check your ears. I didn't say that.
We literally debated that on the show yesterday.
I said he's
Let's ask Bill Belichick. There's a strong. We'd have to ask Bill Belichick because there's a strong case. We debated that on the show.
Yes, but I didn't say Lawrence Taylor was inferior or Aaron Donald was better than Lawrence Taylor.
What did you
say? I said you have to ask Bill Belichick because even though I would say that. The bottom line is Bill Belichick is the man that you got to ask about that because you can't even have that conversation with him. That is not the same as saying that Aaron Donald is better than Lawrence Taylor.
Well, if we need to ask Bill Belichick, then you're saying it is a conversation.
It's a conversation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Don't talk to me about the Giants defense.
The fact of the matter is, you wouldn't even be making this argument if you wasn't a Giants fan. So your emotions are all out of whack here. That's number one. Number two, the bottom line is the bar has been lowered.
All right.
The bar has been lowered.
I'll just remind you, though, you're the one yelling, and I'm the one bringing facts. But I'm emotional.
I didn't get facts?
Okay. It's cool.
I didn't get facts?
It's cool.
I didn't get facts?
Weaker facts.
And by the way, I'm always yelling. So what difference does it make?
All right,
I'm going to just be quiet.
Sorry about that, Marcus. Just had to help him out, you know.